Kia ora and welcome to episode 28 of Bridge Talks Business with Milford. Any guesses what we're talking about today? Maybe the weather? Maybe the Warriors? No, two words, Trump and shares. First, here's your top five business bits. Number one, Liberation Day was the worst case scenario stuff. The tariffs were bigger than expected and also based on a flimsy calculation. Basically, countries being penalized for selling more to America than buying from them, which is more to do with comparative advantage than tariffs. Number two, the US effective tariff rate, now the highest in 100 years, higher than the Smoot-Hawley tariffs in the 1930s that are often attributed with making the Great Depression worse. Number three, US consumers will bear the brunt of this. Tariffs are basically a tax on them. This has led many forecasters to predict a US and global recession. That's so long as the tariffs remain in place, of course, and as we all know, Trump has been known to change his mind. Number four, some countries are willing to negotiate, but not yet all of them. China's hit back with a 34% tariff. That could risk them becoming isolated due to the retaliation measures. And at number five, the result of all of this, a sharp sell-off in share markets, with the broadest risk-off move in markets since the COVID pandemic in March 2020. Investors are now no longer complacent about the risks of this Trump administration. All right, it's time for our chat. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we caught up with Phil Morgan Reese from Milford, and I know a lot of you loved hearing from him. We spoke about how volatility can affect you. 2 weeks ago, we didn't know what Trump's tariffs were going to be. There was a lot of uncertainty about them. We had a dip in the S&P 500, but it rebounded. We were talking about potentially stickier inflation for the United States, expectations of slower growth. And here we are 2 weeks later. We know what the tariffs are. They're worse than expected, and we've seen markets in a bit of a tailspin. So we thought it's time to get Phil back for another chat. Don't forget that this segment is informational only and should not be considered financial advice. Phil Morgan Reese is the head of wealth management here at Milford. Phil, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you.
Great to be here.
A little bit of water's gone under the bridge since we last spoke.
Yes.
So give us the lay of the land. What's happened in, you know, since we last spoke?
Well, Trump's tariff announcements were worse than everyone expected. Mm-hmm. That's really the long and short of it. So we've gone from a situation 2 weeks ago when we last spoke where there were concerns in the US about slowing growth. There was uncertainty around what the Trump tariff announcement would mean to a global reaction, a reaction across the world. Increasing concerns about slowing growth now globally, not just the US, and concerns about higher inflation. And what's happened is because of those two factors, stocks have repriced and really quickly. And markets, as we know, don't like uncertainty, right? Mm. One of the things we learn is markets are forward-looking. They like a level of predictability. And so if you think about what I said, the announcement was a shock. So that's going to impact markets. And secondly, markets don't really know now whether this current position is one of those headline-grabbing, hard-line Trump negotiating positions which will be watered down, or whether it's the start of a lengthy and damaging trade war, which could end up with slower global growth, increased inflation globally, and if you put those two things together, stagnation and inflation, you end up with stagflation, which is tricky to get out of.
Yeah. For those who are, we spoke last time about our inexperienced investors and our more experienced or seasoned investors will be probably reacting in potentially similar ways to the news that's going on, depending on how close to retirement you are.
Yep.
So how will they be feeling about more volatility?
Okay. So I think it's fair to say the hardest hit will be the newer investors and those close to using their money. Right. And I'll talk about everyone else a little bit later. So newer investors, we talked about them last time and we said, you know, well, volatility is the price we pay for higher long-term returns. But they're looking at quite a sharp drop in their holdings. They're experiencing right at the start of their journey. I think the first thing I would say to them is, well, you haven't done anything wrong. When you haven't made a mistake, What I'd like you to do is understand what's going on. It's harsh because you're taking a lot of pain before you're taking the gain. As
you haven't seen the good yet.
No, you haven't seen any of the good. And actually, you're taking the pain. Mm. So if you've come off a term deposit, which is a fixed amount, you know, predictable, it's a fixed rate of interest, it's a fixed amount that you get back after a fixed period, and you were probably expecting markets to go up and down a bit, and you acknowledged that you're in this for the long-term gain that you'll get from investing in markets, you're going to be worried because you're looking at a diminution in the value of your money. But I really encourage you to say, to think, you've not made a mistake and you haven't done anything wrong. What's happening here is you're getting a harsh early lesson in how markets work. And so the last thing I want any new investor to do is to panic and crystallize a loss. We touched on this last time. If my money drops 10% and I cash in, I've crystallized that 10% loss. And seasoned investors will know you just have to be patient to wait for markets to recover. And you could even crystallize a loss by de-risking. So de-risking is where you reduce the amount of equities in the investment you're holding. But what that actually then means, so you have to think about it quite carefully, is I've reduced the amount of equities that I'm holding, which means I'm reducing the upside, having already taken the downside of holding that quantity of equities. So, you know, the reality is that seasoned investors will know to be patient and to wait for markets to bounce. But I also mentioned those close to using the money. So normally when you come to using your money out of an investment, you'll have a plan around that as to how to do it. So that shouldn't be affected because your plan will have accommodated what you're going to do. If you haven't had a plan, then I would encourage people to take only what they need and to allow the money to work with the market as it rebounds.
Because they have no option but to crystallize.
They're going to be using the money.
They need the
money. Absolutely.
Right?
So I'd encourage them to think about you taking only what you need.
But there are ways. So if I'm thinking now, I'm relatively young about my future.
Yep.
There are ways to actually plan so that if an event like this happened when I'm turning 65 or whenever I want to get my money out, you can plan so that you're not having to crystallize those losses or to the extent.
Absolutely. I always advocate people thinking in three life stages. So accumulation is the early stage of your investment journey. So KiwiSaver investor, would be a classic example. Someone accumulating for the long term. Then you've got the pre-retirement phase, which is 10 years before you start using the money. Could be any age, whatever your age is. And then you've got the retirement phase. So always think in those three phases. And in the pre-retirement phase, it's all about making sure that you've got a plan for using the money in a way where you don't get caught by a situation like this. That's precisely your point. Yeah. You're spot on.
So what about everyone else? We've spoken about the newbies. We've spoken about the experienced. What about the rest of us?
So I think in all cases, understand what's happening. And we talked about this last time. Understand how it's impacting your long-term plan. So if you're a long-term accumulator, again, let's mention KiwiSaver. You know, if you've got 10, 15 years to go in KiwiSaver, think of it this way. What you're doing probably is paying into your KiwiSaver every 2 weeks, and you're now buying into your investment or buying units in your KiwiSaver scheme at about